All right, take your Bibles out. We're going to go to the same portion of Scripture we went to last week, John chapter 15. What I'd like to do is I'm going to just read that portion of Scripture starting off first thing this morning. It starts off in verse 11, and I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. It says, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master does not confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father told me. You did not choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command, love each other. So we started last week talking about this whole piece of friended and how the body of Christ is intended to be full of people who are friending people. In fact, I was thinking about that this week, and Clarissa actually friended me not long after I got started following Jesus, but I actually went to the church before she did. I was up in the front on a Sunday morning after church, and we lived in Mesa, Arizona, and as I'm standing there, Clarissa, whom I'd never met before, walks up to me, and she says, can I use your muscles? There's nothing funny about that. You look at me and go, well, that makes perfect sense. Actually, she needed help moving furniture, and she knew she knew of my roommate and I, and so we went and helped her moving some furniture at her apartment that she was just getting to ready to move into. And what I said to her that while it wasn't in the front of her mind, it sure subconsciously she saw me and said, "I want to date that guy." But as at least it relates to the sermon, she actually, I believe, had an instinctual idea of something that's very biblical, that in the family of God, in the church, it's full of people who you can walk up to and rely on, that you can put some weight on, that you can actually, now that weight was maybe a little pun when it came to the lifting, but the put some things on and they would help you with it. And so Jesus, in this scripture, in verse 12, I'd like us to look back at it because I want us to say it all together. I actually put it on the screen for you. But I want us to say it all together because this really is critical for us, Bethel, at this point of Bethel's history. So what did that scripture say? Ready to say it with me? It says, this is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. Let's do it one more time. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. Now, last week we did this key understanding. I want to just touch it on it this week. It's already in your notes there. But it's just very simply, Jesus friends people so they can friend people. That's part of the process that Jesus put into place. In fact, the church is really good about a lot of do's and don'ts in the world. Don't do this, don't do that. You know, if you want to get hung up on anything from tattoos to, you know, drinking wine, whatever. Jesus said, this is my commandment. Love each other as I have loved you. So there's an element of sacrifice. There's an element of saying, I'm going to leave my place of comfort and go be with you and hang out with you and get to know you and allow you to get to know me. When I think about the missionaries that we just saw that video of who used to be part of Bethel, and we look around the sanctuary and we see a huge sanctuary, and we've closed off the majority of the sanctuary because it's ended in its ability of reaching people, and it just kind of started to die off. Why? Because I believe some point in Bethel's history, while it was a sending organization, those who remained stopped friending people. And I really believe that for Bethel to really reach its vision of igniting change in hundreds who'll ignite change in thousands, we kind of have to have this other little vision that goes with it. And it's simply this, that not we don't want to just be a friendly church. I talked about last week when we went to We went to Texas Stadium for a football game. Man, those people at the ticket counter all the way to our seats, they were really nice. Everyone greeted us, said, can we help? Well, you had a great time. It doesn't take any part of Jesus to be friendly. Now, I know in this world we see a lot of unfriendliness through a lot of people, but really it doesn't take a lot to be friendly. So it really is no great, now hear me on this, it's really no great compliment for a church to say we're a friendly church. Because what we've duped ourselves into believing is that we don't have to listen to the commandment of Jesus to love others as we love ourselves. That's more than being friendly. That's being a church of friends. That's being a church that says, if you have need, I'm going to do what is humanly possible and is healthy for you to help you. So this vision becomes critical for us. Because if we're going to really ignite change in people, if we want to see people's lives transformed, you've heard the old adage where it basically says that that nobody cares what you know until they know how much you care. You've heard that before? That has to do with people knowing instinctively that the church should be more than a friendly place, but the church should be a place where somebody is willing to sacrifice and leave their place of comfort for someone else. And what happens in our world, in our digitally connected world, is we think that we can have all these wonderful relationships without actually ever truly friending somebody. I don't get on Facebook a lot, but I got on there this week, and I noticed that someone had done a friend request, and they went to the church, and I thought, well, if they want to keep them at the church, maybe I better friend them. So I pressed the friend button. So now they're friended. They'll stay at church forever now because they've friended the pastor on Facebook, right? Really, that's just a place for us to get this little glimpse into people's lives is really what Facebook is about. But what people really long for is relationship. But what we don't realize is that when Jesus is saying that ultimately that we are to produce lasting fruit, fruit that remains, that ultimately what we've got to do is we need to know that relationships and new relationships are really, really important for us. In fact, I think you find there are probably a number of areas where relationships really help us in areas. So when the first thing is very simply is what they really do is they really challenge who we are. Really, they really bring the challenge of what we need. You know, you may be here this morning going, well, I got enough challenges in life. I got work and I got the family and I've got the finances. I don't need another relationship to bring a challenge in my life. Yes, you do. The first reason you do is because Jesus commanded it, that you're to love like he loved you. And let me tell you something, if you're going to love like Jesus loved you, you're going to find that immensely challenging. Because I don't know about you, for me, you know, I'm spiritual, so I think two, you know, spiritually wrong thoughts often. One, they're just people I want to give the fivefold ministry to, right? And then there's the other that, you know, people say, well, vengeance is the Lord's. And I say, I'm thinking, yeah, but I do his work. So, the reality is we all find ourselves in these challenging relationships. And God wants us to be in challenging relationships. When people come to Bethel, if you're newer coming to Bethel, you're not going to find a perfect people. Hopefully you find people who'll be your friend. One of my favorite books, and I've referenced it over the years because I think the title says everything about us, written by John Ortberg. And the name of the book is Everybody's Normal Until You Get to Know Them. You know, it's kind of when Clarissa and I first met, man, we really got along. And in fact, people would often, over the years have asked us how long our honeymoon period was. They say the average is 18 months. Ours was 2 weeks. Okay, because like we got into this and we went, what did we get into? You are just not the person that I dated. It brings the challenge. But it does more than that. It also brings the encouragement we need. The body of Christ is intended to really bring us encouragement through life. Some of you came forward to pray for prayer, and someone spoke a prayer that while went before the Heavenly Father, it also spoke to you and brought encouragement and strength. It uplifted you, and you went, well, maybe I can do this. Maybe there really is hope in God for this area of my life. The body of Christ is intended to walk alongside of you and not be a wet blanket, not tell you what you can't do, but help you do what you can do. This last week, I went and had war with Sprint, and it was war. I'll leave it there. And finally, I got off of customer service and went into a Sprint store, And there's this young lady that was new, and she was getting trained, and she was helping me. And she walked around the corner to get me to sign this thing on their iPad. And she said, do you have kids? And I said, well, yeah, my youngest is probably older than you. And it opened up a conversation. We started talking. And she asked what I did. And so I told her, I pastor a church, my wife and I do, and where it was at, and so on and so forth. And we started talking. And she said to me, she goes, do you think, by the way, she was 19. She says, do you think at my age, it's okay that I don't know what I want to do? And I said, oh, at 19, yeah, that's actually probably fairly normal, but you probably do know what you want to do. What is it that you would really, if you could do anything, I mean, right now, get up and leave Sprint and do anything, what would it be? And she goes, you know, I would really want to be a plus-size model. And I went, that is absolutely awesome. So then I talked to her about, well, what are you going to do about it? What steps are you taking to go after your dream? Because instinctively, as someone who loves God and knows that God is on my side and God's on people's side when they'll just come alongside of him, I'm going to encourage people to go after their dreams. Ended up giving her my email address and said, hey, I know people, and so I'll help you when you get to this point. We're intended to be the encouragement. The third thing is really what happens is we get the comfort that we need. Now, where the encouragement is words, comfort is oftentimes just presence. It's just being with somebody. I talked with someone this morning that lost a dear friend, and my heart grieves for him. And there are absolutely no words that I could say to my friend that would allow her to immediately get over her grief. But I can be there. When they teach Red Cross and people volunteering going into areas of traumatic experiences, people need to know that they're not going to be left alone. And you may be going through life and you've not connected, you've not been friended by somebody, and so you feel very alone. The body of Christ is really intended to bring the comfort we need. And when you feel all alone, you feel very uncomfortable. You can be in a room full of people and still feel very, very isolated. And so when God somewhere in history came up with this plan of the church, of the Christ followers, this idea of people who are of all different ethnic backgrounds and age backgrounds and experience backgrounds coming together and having this belief that we are all going to heaven and God wants us to not only get along before we get there, he wants us to really form relationships. And yet, that can be incredibly challenging. And what I want to do is I brought some friends of mine. These little friends are nice little illustrations of ultimately everybody that's in the room. We're going to go through them together, but I thought it would be good just to have them as a nice little object lesson, because what you find is that the church really is made up of golden retrievers, lions, otters, and beavers. And so you might be, you might find yourself predominantly in one of these. You may probably are not wholly one. You know, it's not uncommon to be predominant one and have part of your personality type to be part of another. And in fact, what's interesting is that I actually married a lion. Oh, I did. In fact, I didn't even think about this until earlier, is that lions, you know, first of all, they're visionary. They're the get it done people. They're very productive and practical. And you know, I'm a little bit more dense. You know, for those of you of a scientific mind, I'm so dense, light bends around me. So it takes me a while to actually get where. And I thought, you know, the very first thing my future wife asked me was to do something. She walked right up to me and said, I'm a lion. Now, lions have incredible strengths. We get things done, the Van Proyen household, because of my wife. We have no kids that ultimately are going to live around us because of my wife, because she's a visionary. She says to them, the world is your oyster, go after it. And then they moved away. But now, the lion, though, with all personalities, they're incredibly positive, wonderful, awesome traits. But then there's also negative traits. This is what makes the body of Christ or friending people challenging. Because, you know, you may not be the lion. I have found that with the lion and being married to a lion, I'm working really hard loving my spouse by doing the to-do list that she's asked me to do. And I'm in the middle of working this project. Some of you are going to really relate to me. And because you're married to being a lion, don't chicken out on me. You can amen me here in a moment. Is that I'm working on this one project. And in the middle of this project, she'll come up to me while my hands are dirty and give me three more. Which is really cold and domineering and unemotional. See? So we have lions in the room. And if you're not a lion, you might go, oh, I'm not going to go friend a lion. They actually bite. They're hurt, scary. No, they're wonderful. And they're exactly what God knew that you needed. In fact, they most likely will bring the challenge in relationship that you need. Now, she married an otter. Otters, man, we just love to have fun. Now, while I'm not all otter, I got, you know, some other things in me. I'm, you know, if you know me, I'm very outgoing. I'm responsive. I'm warm. I'm friendly. I'm talkative. At least if I'm going to be in conversation, I'm going to be talkative, enthusiastic. I, unlike the lion, am compassionate. Okay, lions don't tend to run real high there. But we have weaknesses too, because we tend to be undisciplined. We tend to get sidetracked. We tend to go, hey, how's it going? Oh, by the way, I saw a chicken kind of thing, and we're on to the next thing. And, you know, it's easy for the otter, because everybody likes him, to get very egocentric. It's easy for the otter to go, hey, that's enough talking about me. Let's talk some more about me. And so, for the very extreme, this wouldn't be me, contrary to what some of you might say. They can be unstable. Because again, there's just all over the place. There's an extreme unhealth in all of them. Then there's the golden retriever. Golden retriever. You know, they say that the majority of humanity falls under the golden retriever. Golden retriever. They're really calm, easygoing. They're dependable. They're the ones once they commit to something, they're gonna stick with it. They're not gonna come after you for saying something wrong. They're not gonna bite. In fact, the actual golden retriever as a dog never met a thief they didn't like. They're just that kind of personality. They're really easygoing. It can be real humorous. They want everybody to get along, so they can be very diplomatic. But the weaknesses in the golden retriever are it can be very selfish, stingy. They can procrastinate. I would say that it's easy for the golden retrievers to be very, what they would say, passive aggressive. There's this part of them that really can worry or find themselves being fearful of things. You ask a golden retriever to make a decision, they go, what? A decision? Oh, I don't know. Maybe you should make that decision. Because why? The golden retriever doesn't want to upset the apple cart. They'd rather you upset the apple cart, and they'll just go along with it. It's the golden retriever. Then there's the beaver, which probably is the least common. Strengths are very analytical, real self-disciplined. They're very industrious. They're organized. They really are a person that if you need something done and you go to them, they're going to give you the list. And they're going to say, this is how you get it done. This is how you get it accomplished. Why do I know that? Because I've already done it myself. They are that kind of person. You know, the church needs beavers that really are list people and are very organized. Now, the challenge is they can be moody. They can be kind of self-centered, which is, by the way, could be to any part of humanity. They can be a little bit touchy because, you know, they've built their dam, and don't mess with their dam because their dam works. Saying, seriously. Because the beaver is so good at getting things done by themselves, it's easy for the beaver to be unsociable. It's really easy for the beaver to just kind of isolate themselves. And then the other thing is that, and this can happen, again, in the body of Christ really easy, because the beaver has really a lot of accomplishments that they themselves have done. It's really easy to get resentful. So you got to kind of watch that. And so God made this incredible, wonderful, beautiful, happy family and said, get along, don't eat each other. That's speaking to the lion more specifically. And he says, now here's the thing. I loved the lion, the otter, the golden retriever, and the beaver, as I have loved you, go love them. So that means that God quite possibly would not want me just to get into a puppy pile with a bunch of other golden retrievers, which is really hard for golden retrievers who just like puppy piles. God says, that's the easy thing to do. Love is always best demonstrated when it's the hardest thing to do. There's a reason Jesus is at the Garden of Gethsemane and he's getting ready to go to the cross and he's sweating blood because it was a really hard thing to do. And so if you're to love like Jesus loved, then I think then you have to make some choices. I'm going to give you four choices that I think we all have to make as it relates to relationships. There are really four crossroads that we always find ourselves at. And so the first one, very simply, is do we choose to walk alone? We'll use the beaver here. Or to be with others. It's easy to walk alone when I can get it all done by myself. And by walking alone, I don't have to deal with the lion. Because the beaver can easily be irritated with the lion. Because the lion doesn't recognize and can seem awful cold to the accomplishments of the beaver. And so they will look at each other and want to go the other way. But when we choose to walk with each other, we become the reflection of the bride in a greater fashion for the world to see than when we walk alone. Now, God will not make you walk with others. God will not make you do anything. In fact, he doesn't make people become Christians. But when they choose to become a Christian, he says things like, this is my commandment. I don't know about you, but when he uses the word commandment, I think he's commanding me to do something. And he's going to judge me for it when I stand before him. Which means this beaver and this lion, they better get along. It's a choice we make. The next choice we make really has to do with pretending or being real. Now, let's take the otter and the golden retriever as an example here. Pretending is very simply saying, oh yeah, I'm a golden retriever, or I never have problems, or your life sucks and mine doesn't. That's pretending. It's the thinking everybody believes everything you post on Facebook. Come on now. But also, if we get rid of the auto for a minute, being real doesn't mean, well, I'm a lion and I chew you up. And that's just the way I am. Being real looks at yourself in the mirror and says, you know, my tendency is to want to dominate this golden retriever, but I have to understand that I have challenges myself. Being real as the golden retriever is not running away with your tail between your legs. Being real as the golden retriever is willing to look the lion in the eye and say, you know, it really bothers me when you're always telling me what to do. That was a good place to amen. Because you're a bunch of chickens because you're all this. But it's being real with each other. Clarissa will tell you, I do not like it if I am working on something you've asked me to work on and you come up and give me two more things to do. In fact, you know, I don't think otters bite, but those would be the closest to getting me to bite as you can get. But because we've had those conversations, being real with one another. Also, we can choose to take the shortcut, the long road. We live in a commercialized society. The beaver can go to whatever church is most full of beavers. The otter can go around until they find that group that they can best hang out with and play with all the time. But when you come into the body of Christ, if we're going to love like Jesus loved us, then we have to say that we are in it for the long haul. And two completely different personalities hanging out together will only produce lasting, eternal fruit when they're willing to do it for the long haul. in our culture, in our society, if you don't find the right stuffed animal in your life, go to another church, there'll be other stuffed animals, and maybe you'll finally come across that puppy pile you've been longing for. But then what it says to us that are mature in the faith is that I've been given this commandment. I'm going to be okay with being uncomfortable so someone else can learn to be comfortable in my presence. See, that's spiritual maturity. The last one is we really make this choice to choose to be comfortable or to change, to grow, and to really become what God wants us to become. A Labrador personality will never truly change hanging out with a bunch of other Labradors because they're never going to direct you. They're never going to get you to look at life differently. They're never going to challenge you to be different than you were before. It's going to require the lion and the otter who are willing to come up and say, you know, imagine if you, do you realize that you hurt others by bailing out rather than confronting them? There's this choice that we make in our walk with the Lord that is far greater, far more than just our connection with God. But what happens when we say yes to the challenges of relationship, when we say yes to the encouragement that comes, we say yes to the comfort that comes, then God begins to grow us. The reason that Clarissa and I's honeymoon period only lasted 2 weeks is because this is a very serious animal, and this one likes to have fun. And this one didn't want to put up with this one trying to throw a wet blanket on his life. And this one didn't like the idea of me not taking things more seriously. I often say that, you know, at the beginning, she took everything I said seriously. Now she takes nothing seriously because she changed and she grew. But I also changed and grew because I recognized that I partnered, made a life partnership with somebody who is predominantly in their nature, they're hardwired to be aggressive going after things. And now I know that whenever she comes and asks me to do anything, she didn't do anything different than when we first met. You know, the funny thing about this is that here we've been married 28 years, and for 28 years I've said, you know, you got to let me watch sports because the first date I took you was to an ASU baseball game. And here's the whole time she never said to me, yeah, but I asked you to do something and you did it the first time. You haven't been doing it ever since. No, she doesn't really say that. But we learn about each other. There's this growth that happens as we choose to be in it for the long haul. As we choose to not run away when things get difficult. Would you take your notes out with me really quick? I want to bring this back in front of you as I did last week. And on the back side of your notes, you may not have written anything on your notes. I still want you to pull this out. Because next week is when I'm going to really challenge your spirituality. This is simply a connections that count covenant. I want to read you the covenant. It says, I love Jesus and his children. I want my life to count. I purpose to finish well by being intentionally engaged in both giving and growing in the significant stage of my life. I will invest myself in others and be open to learn from them. Having prayerfully considered the opportunity, I have decided that the next 12 months to connect relationally in order to befriend, encourage, and partner in prayer. During the next 3 months, I will make at least one connection that counts with. And next week, I'm going to ask you to put a name in there. Now, here's what my hope is that as we look around this room and we see that it is predominantly empty based on its size, that we believe that we've been given this call to not just be a friendly church, but to be a church of friends. So our first inclination, I would pray for you, is that you would choose somebody different than your normal puppy pile. That you would choose to go, you know, there's somebody I don't know. And so you walk up to him and you say, hey, my name is. And then you know someone that you can write their name down. And now you can say, okay, Lord, I'm going to intentionally begin to pray. And I'm going to do stuff that can intentionally connect with them. And next week, I'm going to ask you to put their name, your name, and I'm going to have you turn it in. Because I want to be praying for you. And then I also want to say, who's taking this seriously? You say, well, that's awful strong. Well, I really am passionate about us igniting change. I didn't come to Arizona to let Bethel die. I didn't come from Arizona to allow people to stop friending people and allow Bethel to continue its decline. The only way we will ultimately grow is if we make a decision to really listen to Jesus' words and begin to love people as he has loved us. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, thank you for your goodness. And Lord, I thank you that you left your place of comfort, the splendors of heaven, and you moved toward me. And while you did it for all humanity, it's really personal, Lord, because you came into my heart. And Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that has never said, will you come into my heart, I pray this morning they would make that choice. Lord, they feel like they're horrible, they're no good, they're not worth anything. But Lord, you died on the cross and they were on your mind. And Lord, that's a supernatural God thing that I don't understand, but it doesn't make it any less of a reality. And Lord, as you are calling them to come and to be in relationship with you, I pray, Lord, that they would choose to do that this morning. That they would choose to live a life that is getting to know you. And then, Lord, I pray that that also they would choose to be in a relationship with people that are around them that are spiritual, that will friend them, that will encourage them, that will give them the comfort they need, that will bring the challenge that they need. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, while we run into all kinds of different relationships, Lord, and we think someone has been brought into our life just to make us miserable, Lord, you really are allowing them to come into our lives because you want to change something in us. And I pray, Lord, for the mature at Bethel. I pray, God, that we would allow the fruit of the Spirit to be able to be as an apple tree is picked by another person, that the fruit of the Spirit in our life would be able to be picked by those who are around us because we are befriending them. We are saying, I want you to understand the patience of Jesus in my life. I want you to understand the kindness of Jesus that's coming from my life. I want you to understand all the different aspects of the character of God that are in my life. I want you to enjoy them. So I'm choosing to befriend you. I pray, God, that you help us to move in that direction. Cause us, Lord, to be a church. Cause us, Lord, to be a church of friends, not just a friendly church. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen.